any questions?
I'll repeat the questions for the recording. So,
yeah. I've got a question about the use of the internet, because you said you know how you said God made, like, Jesus was an icon of himself?
Yeah.
So can I extrapolate that and see that through Jesus God was making an idol so that he could worship himself?
That's your question, yes?
Yeah, what's following from that, because, like, we are also made in the image of God, and, like, how you explain image being, like, similar to, like, all the language about idolatry, and, like, idolatry was obviously created because people wanted to worship other things.
Yeah.
So, therefore, since we are created as the image of God, our purpose is also to worship God.
Yes, right, okay. So the question is about, it's about image and worship, essentially, isn't it? What does it mean to say, because idolatry is this worshipping of false idols, what happens if you have, as it were, and I'm putting words into your mouth here, but I think accurately, idols of God? As it were, true idols.
Yeah, like, can I say that God created Jesus? I mean, not God created Jesus, because they're the same thing, but Jesus was the means through which God was worshipping himself.
Yeah, was Jesus the means by which God could worship himself? I'm going to push the boat out a bit and say sort of yes and no, but mostly no. The first thing you have to get clear is what worship is about. Worship is a term that through Scripture is used meaning to honour. Yeah, so... In fact, I was reading an older translation of one of the stories of Jesus just the other day, where it actually says about some chap. It was in a parable that the character in it worships another character, and of course it doesn't mean he treated this character as God. It means he honoured him. In English, we sometimes refer to a magistrate, I think, or a judge, one or the other, as your worship. Now, it's not being used religiously there. It simply means your honour. And the action of worshipping meant to bow, to honour somebody. So if you bowed to somebody, that was, in inverted commas, worship. So all the worship language that we use in the Bible needs to be seen as honouring. So the it's not the same. If you're worshipping something, in other words, it doesn't necessarily mean you think it's God. Worship and God are separate things. You would worship the king, not because you thought the king was God, but because the king was the king and you weren't. So you honour the king. But also, if somebody came to visit you, you would worship your guest because they are honourable. So all the way through. So the language of, is Jesus there to be, quotes, worshipped by God? It's not God treating Jesus as God, but there is honour within the Trinity. Jesus honours the Father.
But in a sense, my question was there, was there an element of self-narcissism?
Right, was there an element of self-narcissism? No, but there was, and we will come to this, I think, about the third or the fourth talk. What was happening? Why was God, as it were, pleased with his son, and so on? What is going on there? That is an interesting question. We will, hopefully, by the end of the weekend, you'll see an answer to that. There is something going on between the Father and the Son. And there is something going on between the Son and the Father, which is significant. And you're on an interesting track, and I think a helpful track. It's not, you don't need to worry that it's a kind of narcissistic thing, but you're right to pick up. There's something going on here. There must be an interaction then between Creator and image. What's happening there? So you're quite right to pick that up. So just to say, hold that thought. I know I've not answered the question in fullness, but you're absolutely right to pick it up. And it will be hopefully properly dealt with by the end, yeah? Everybody else probably too baffled at the moment. Sifle, yes, please.
Can you please explain a little bit more about, you said that that when God, when man, the image bearer, failed to rebel against the one that they're supposed to be bearing image of, it threw everything else.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't just them that needed to be atoned, made reconciled, but the whole. And you said one of the reasons for that is because all of everything was made for him and by the image bearer.
I think you've put it yourself actually pretty accurately, so I'm simply going to play it back to you as you have. I was saying that the picture that the Bible seems to give is that the state of creation is a result of human sin, essentially. You know, the downside of creation is linked in with us. Romans 8, the passage I referred to in Romans 8, I think is one of the clearest statements. But we'll see later on there are other places where it's picked up as well. And so there is a real link between where we're at and where creation is at. Now, you were saying something else as well, that when that's put right... Sorry, you made another point and I've just lost it for a moment.
It wasn't just the problem between the man and God.
Yeah. That's right, yes. Yeah, it's not just a problem between us and God. It's a problem with the whole of creation, but the crucial thing, it is this thing of the weakest link. We are the weakest link. And because we are the weakest link, everything hangs on what happens around and about us. And the putting right of us necessarily entails the other things also being put right. But the crucial thing I was trying to say earlier was that when you look, for example, in Colossians 1, you see that, as it were, behind the scenes, that God's great plan and purpose is in creation, centres around Christ, yes, but we have to remember that Christ is the image bearer. And so the whole of creation centres around, not, as it were, a Son of God in isolation from creation, but the Son of God who is the image bearer. That is his character, to be the image bearer. It's not a plug-in or an add-on or a second thought. Christ is the image bearer. And therefore, if creation is made for the one who is the image bearer, then a lot hinges around the state of the image bearer. Now, what you have in creation itself, in the created order, is a further image bearer, and that's where it gets quite interesting and almost confusing. You're saying to yourself, and this is where I think we have a certain difficulty. Genesis 1:26 is quite clear, and if that stood on its own, you'd say, well, that's clear. The image bearer is here. Starts off as Adam and Eve, and then it just expands and develops. That's the image bearer. That's very straightforward. And then you come to passages like Colossians, and it says there the image bearer is Christ. You think, hang on, I thought that was our job. Now, is Colossians saying, no, forget, it's not your job. That was a misunderstanding. There is one image bearer, and that's Jesus. And you were just, you know, it talked about you as image bearers, but forget that, it's Jesus. And I think that's how a lot of our thinking goes. We make Jesus the sole image bearer. But I don't think the Bible's saying that. I don't think it says, and therefore you are no longer image bearers. Because of all those passages I spoke about, which keep saying, we will be conformed to the image of his Son. So the Bible is saying, no, you are the image bearers, you just don't bear the image as he bears it. Yet, but hang on, it's all being put to rights. So it is this thing of the role of the image bearer, and we as image bearers, having gone wrong, have dragged the whole thing down with us. Because it's always, the creation is for the image bearer. But you've got another image bearer who's going to put it right. Who is before all things and through all things and so on, but he's still the image bearer. Even before all things, he is the image bearer. So it is complicated, but I'm hope in four talks time, it'll all be plain and straightforward. Take one there and one there. Well, if they're short or my answers are short, try the question.
Sorry, just to be clear on Adam, yeah. I mean, you're saying he didn't completely bear the image or partially.
It's an interesting question. Did Adam completely bear the image? You have to take Genesis 1:26-27 at face value. Let us make man in our image. So there is a clear intention that he should be the image bearer. And then you have to look at what happened. And say, now, how well is that image born, as it were? But we will do that later. Yeah, we'll pick up more on the state of Adam. So let's just take that question there. I can fit that in before coffee.
You also said creation leads to the incarnation.
Yes. Yeah, creation, I've said, leads to incarnation. Yeah, and therefore this is in God's plan. And my answer is yes, It's all God's plan and purpose. Let me anticipate that by mentioning this book, The Eternal Cross, where I tried to explore those Bible passages that point to Christ being set apart for redemption before the foundation of the world. See, there isn't this. We have real difficulty thinking about God because we always want to be looking at our watches when we're thinking about God, or looking at our calendars and saying, well, God planned this and then he planned that, and God moving through time. But St. Augustine of Hippo in the 4th century AD was one of the people who twigged very early on that God made time. Now, if God made time, you can't apply time categories to how God works. And that opens up a whole can of worms about how you can think about God. But it should control our thinking. We shouldn't be looking at God's calendar because he hasn't got one. Marcus.
Speaking of time, leads us on nicely.